Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester.
My name's Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into Dungeons and Dragons!
And today we are Warlocked and Loaded.
Oh, that's very good.
Boom, yep, we're talking about Warlocks this week.
Excellent.
And blimey, this was a hell of a bit of skim reading to have to do.
Yes, there's a lot to them.
Lot to it.
Okay, so Warlocks are very 5th edition. That's the best way to describe
them. What does that mean?
So this is the first real appearance of them. They're super customizable. I don't think you're ever going to find, even in whatever, if you play in multiple games, I don't think you'll ever find a Warlock that is the same, if you know what I mean.
Well, they're very diverse in terms of subclasses.
Yeah, extraordinarily so. But the real nice thing, and the way that the Warlock plays is, and this is what I mean by it being very 5th edition, is it encourages you to roleplay as a standard. Part of the mechanics mean that there is something that you have to be involved in the world with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be, hi, I'm a Warlock, I go to the pub.
Yeah.
There's stuff in there. And that is...
burdened with great purpose.
It is, very much so. So... What I mean basically is the Warlock is ultimately a class that you have to role play. Basically,
you have to actively cut a path through the story.
Yes, exactly.
So you've got to have a really good DM as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Warlocks, you do have to have conversations with your DM
as
a standard. You can't just go like, here's a thing. Right, so we're going to get into the reasons why this is the case. Sam, what would you do for phenomenal cosmic power?
Quite a lot.
None of this can be said on a podcast.
I mean, there's not much. I think probably a better question would be, what wouldn't I do for absolute cosmic power?
Okay, cool. So Warlocks are exactly that. They are spellcasters who have taken their powers or have been lent their powers. They're a spellcaster. And they take their powers directly from another being of extraordinary power and influence within the world.
Like a demon or a genie or a whatever.
Exactly.
Spirit.
Now, that individual or that entity is known as your Warlock patron. And these are the things that kind of separate the subclasses.
So you're kind of like Faustus, the guy that made a deal with the devil.
Sure. I don't actually know that story.
Oh, it's from... it's like one of those old... Merlin-y sort of timey tales.
Okay,
about wizards
cool.
and stuff.
You can tell me once we've finished.
Yeah.
Now, part of these, this is basically, now we have to think what sort of person, and this is what you should definitely think as when you're building your character, what kind of person is in such desperation or dire need or wishes to basically get that power, and what, you know, what would drive you to do that ultimately, to kind of go like, yep, I wish to make a pact with an entity that I know potentially isn't legitimate or benevolent.
Mm.
Why would you do it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe you are stuck in poverty.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to save a loved one's life.
I was going to say maybe your missus died or something. You want the power to turn back time.
Sure. That's quite a classic one.
Yeah.
Maybe you are just a malevolent individual and you just want more power.
Power for power's sake.
Yeah,
kind of like a Voldemort type thing.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, he definitely gives up parts of his soul to mm-hmm. become more powerful through mm-hmm. the Horcruxes and all that kind of thing, but not specifically to one power, unless you count magic in itself as the agreement.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a huge thing in itself, but that works quite nicely. So when you make an agreement with a patron, you go into something which is known as a pact. Now, these pacts are split into three. You have the Pact of the Chain, which basically allows you to create a little familiar who can run around with you and kind of do your bidding.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Pact of the Tome, which gives you a magical spell book where you store spells, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And a Pact of the Blade, which is basically where you have the ability to summon up a weapon.
Right, okay.
That you immediately become good with.
Like a bound sword or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Well, that's how I always imagine it. Like the bound weapons in Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go deeper into those later on. This is just a quick overview of how that works. Now, the patrons themselves in the game so far, and this is taking the patrons from the player's handbook from Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide and also Xanathar's Guide. So we've got six of them, and these are basically your subclasses. You have the Celestial, you have the Archfey, you have the Hexblade, the Undying, the Great Old One, and the Fiend. So all of these things, those six that I've listed, are a patron of some sort. Now, a Celestial being, I mean, we can riff those. So in your, what sort of thing are you thinking?
The Watcher from the Marvel Universe.
Oh my God, that's a great one. Because he's not completely a deity.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you go to a deity and you're getting your powers
it's
from a deity,
a whole other thing.
Yeah, you are then a cleric.
Yeah.
So it's like a celestial being which has almost like a... which isn't godlike.
Yeah.
Demigods, maybe.
Or Apocalypse as well, yeah. Drawing from that, that Marvel world.
Really good one. What's his tits? That's not helpful at all. Galactus.
Yes, because he gives the powers to the Silver Surfer.
Yes, he does.
Hmm.
So that's the Celestial, typically from Marvel's point of view. Apparently they're great for resources. You could even think of you could even go into like Greek mythology and things like that and think, okay, I'm going to go and get my powers from
Zeus himself or Hades.
Yeah, and only those guys I would say because they are more...
they're the top of the scale either way.
Yes, sure. They're very... You can't get further than that because those guys are kind of present in the world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Zeus might be like, yeah, sure, I'll give you powers. Let me sleep with your daughter, because he was a bit of a weirdo like that. And
tons of wives.
Yeah, he'd just transform himself into something else.
Throwing bone. Yeah,
exactly. So there's Celestials. Archfey. Now, these are creatures that are located in the Feywild. They are...
Unicorns.
Unicorns is a great one.
Dragons? No, dragons.
No, not dragons. Great ones that you can think of are things like Titania.
Cthulhu?
Not Cthulhu.
What's Titania?
The Queen of the Fairies.
Oh, right. From Shakespeare.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, quick to love, but also extremely quick to anger.
Yeah.
And you have to think about how your relationship with that sort of individual goes along.
Sure,
celestial
going to be in your ear.
Yeah.
Telling you to do
something. Look at me, 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 look at me. Yeah. And then when you want to get their attention, they don't want to know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Whereas the Celestials, I feel like they kind of just are benevolent in their power, so they just go, do good in the world.
Fine.
There you go. Or maybe they are, go and cleanse, you know, evil from the world.
Yeah, you can have this power, but you've also got to do me a solid and do this, that, and the other.
Exactly. Archfeys are a bit nuts, I reckon. So you get that thing of, like, them going, here's all the things that you should do for me. I want you to turn every stone that you pass 30 degrees left.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
Just to see you do that.
Like Shir Gorath. We keep going back to Skyrim in this episode, but the god of madness and chaos.
Oh,
yeah. You can have this really cool thing, but you got to go and steal 50 rolls of cheese.
Yes, exactly.
Type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you've got to mess with people kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you might...
Like the mask.
Or they might have no... The mask is a great one as well. Hmm. They might have no actual knowledge of you existing. You know, they might be so completely aloof and above things that they just go, whatever.
I have so much power to give, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want to do? Fireballs? Yeah, okay, whatever.
All right, fine. That's a Friday night for me.
Oh, it's nothing, is it, if you're Celestial?
Undying. Now, this is... I mean, the clue's in the name. You're talking about a patron who has... gathered great power through undeath.
What maybe Voldemort then?
Yeah, probably a little bit more Voldemort, that sort of vibe, because he's literally enhancing his life and extending his life through evil means.
Immortality.
Within D&D, just a lich, you know, because they are great spellcasters from that front, and you can really get to a point where liches become super legendary and over the top kind of thing. And they're liches are wizards who have
died and come back.
Yeah, they've pursued arcane elements to basically extend their lives and basically turn themselves undead.
Huh, okay.
So they've really honed it. And we're talking typically wizards who are crazy, crazy powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like, you know, like easy kind of thing.
Hmm.
If we go Marvel, Hel is a good one.
Yes.
You know how she kind of, she has her executioner in Scourge.
Yeah.
Who is a very underrated character, if you ask me.
Yeah.
In the comics. Not necessarily in that film, but fine. Scourge. Yeah, so Hela and Scourge. So she might go, yeah, you're my executioner, off you go, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that relationship. The Great Old One. You mentioned this a moment ago.
It's got to be the ancient one from Doctor Strange. Surely.
No.
Ooh.
So the Great Old One typically extends from a period in Dungeons and Dragons where the Cthulhu mythos made its way.
Gods and monsters type stuff.
Yeah, you want to come and make a deal with this guy? Fine. Read these titles. It's going to make you go crazy.
Right.
But you're
okay.
Kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I give myself wholly to Cthulhu or various
Cthulhu
other ones.
Cthulhu seems like a bad bet. It's just a big squid.
But that's the whole vibe, is they are these undulating creatures of just eyeballs and tentacles that even looking upon them just makes you go a little bit nuts.
Oh, it's staring into the void and the void staring into you.
Yeah, the master, yes.
Yeah.
You have the fiend, and this is the classic devil-demon vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you my soul, Asmodeus, Asmodeus.
Yes.
Yeah. I give you my soul in servitude if you give me power right now.
Right, okay.
Dante's Inferno, that's a great one.
Right, yeah. Well, this is a literal deal with a demon, not necessarily the devil.
Yes,
but...
exactly. Of some sort of thing, you know. Can be anything. And then finally you have the Hexblade, which in the books is very specific. So you definitely need to speak to your DM with this one, because the deity that kind of gives you, or sub-deity that gives you these powers, is something called the Raven Queen. And she is an individual who lives in the Shadowfell, who basically looks over life and kind of that section between death, life and death.
Right.
And there are points where she basically plucks individuals that she finds interesting and goes, you don't die yet, you come work for me.
Okay.
Which is strange, but part of that basically is the idea that she's created this magical weaponry that she can bestow upon people.
Kind of like when there was a time in the comic books ages ago where the Punisher died but got brought back to life by the Archangel Gabriel and given, like, heaven guns.
Sure.
But grow out of his body. They were super powerful. It was kind of kooky. But it's the same sort of thing, right?
Yes, that's kind of similar in that sense. I mean, that's a really nice one if you want to kind of reskin and you don't want to go down that front. Yes, he's a celestial, or yes, there is a celestial, but almost like a fallen angel who's got that point where he's actually going, I'm fed up of all of the bad stuff. I'm going to equip you with
the tools to get the job done.
You know what I mean? It's people who have been at war too long, and that now any means to get the job done is fine.
Yeah, even if it means giving mortals power over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So those are the patrons. Those are the guys that give you your powers, and that relationship is the thing that you will always explore, and you'll always have to have role playing functions with.
Right. Okay.
You know, one day you might have spent your time and you think you've done everything, and one day your fiend turns up and goes, ah, you know, subclause section B of your contract on the fourth page in the, you know, wherever.
Give me your toes.
Yeah. Yeah, give me all your toes.
All of them. Every single one. Yeah. And now you've got 10.
Or else your powers go away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a...
That's a trade-off. Toes? Come on.
I mean, yes, obviously, that's a mental one that we're going there. You'd give power? You'd give your toes?
Yeah, if he turned... Yeah, what am I going to just put a block of wood at the end of each of my shoes?
Yeah, but you can't... You can no longer walk. You can't balance.
Of course you can. You get fake toes.
All right, yeah, fair. Fine. This is weird.
I think if we're making deals with the devil, we can get wooden toes.
Do you know what? The interesting thing is, later on, there's a specific power that relates to actually losing these toes, which is nuts that you
can
get.
Toe stealer. Really?
No, not toe stealer. But, you know, your patron may, dependent on your DM...
Azeroth, lover of toes.
turn up and request something from you. Or say, I've changed my mind. Give me stuff back.
Here's more toes.
Man, this is totally nuts now.
Nice.
There we go.
I feel like more toes is more of an inconvenience than no toes.
Well, especially if they're not your own, and then there's a village. You go to the next village.
The toeless village.
Everybody's toes have gone.
And all your toes start wiggling.
Yeah. But that one would be some sort of behaviour that you'd see from an archfey. You know what I mean? Okay. I've just stolen all these toes. They're yours now.
Yeah.
Now you have to deal with everybody around you going...
It's a big bag of toes.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you carrying that? Oh,
I have to.
Long story.
I literally have to.
Can't put it down.
So yeah, so that's that relationship that you have to explore can be a fun one.
Yeah.
It could also be something real bad, especially if your DM decides to be...
could be your heart.
Difficult. No, and turns you against your own party.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Give me their hearts.
Yeah, I mean, that's real heavy. But it might be convince one of your crew to actually sign their soul over to me as well.
Blimey.
Yeah, which is not fun.
That's nice. That's a nice little story arc, though.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it might just literally be I sleight of hand put a contract in front of them and tell them it's a check and they have to sign it.
I would fall for that every day.
Well, exactly.
Sounds like you got something planned.
So that's yeah, exactly. That's the patrons. That's how they work from that front. Now let's go back. Do a little rewind.
Mm-hmm.
You know when I said it's warlocks, you'll never find the same ones. And all I've done there is I've given you six options that can each have three pacts, mm-hmm. right? So theoretically, you've got 6 times 3, whatever maths is.
18.
Thank you. I did check that then.
Thanks.
No worry. No, hey man, you've got 18 options there that are set. The things that separate them are your invocations. So typically, mechanically, now we're getting into the mechanics now, all warlocks get very, very small thing, very, very small amount of abilities just across the board. They all get very, very small amount. So they can reset their spells on a short rest,
okay, which means good.
It is good because all other casters, it's on a long rest.
Yeah.
So it means that they're really good for dungeon delving and getting deeper into places and basically... have the stamina to keep going.
Because you just sit down for half an hour.
Yeah, exactly. They don't get many spells in the first place, which is why the invocations are such a big deal. I've forgotten where I was going with this. Oh, that's pretty much it, actually. That's where I was going with this. That is pretty much the things that they all share.
Just
that.
Okay.
Everything else is sort of bolted on through these things called invocations. Now, there's a lot of them, so I figured what we'll do is later on we're going to do an extended What's That Spell?
Yeah.
And we'll do it as something else. Interesting invocations.
That isn't interesting. Yeah.
Invocation. Interesting invocations.
Invocations.
Right.
Invocations.
Oh, it's come back again. So, let's get into the patron mechanics, because each patron gives you specific abilities that kind of reflects where they're coming from.
Right, okay.
First off, Archfey. My personal favourite,
mm-hmm.
not going to lie. I like the idea of the continual change and shift within personalities. Maybe your eyes are never the same colour. Purple,
like
yellow,
that.
Green, just between each eye blink. So their spell list that they give to you, they're about beguiling and tricking your enemies.
Yeah.
And much say in their abilities. So first of all, when you kind of get to this, you can make creatures either afraid of you or be charmed by you. They have to succeed a check to do that, but ultimately, when you're having a scrap or out of combat, you're going, I am scary, or I am pretty.
Yeah, you can exude like an aura, if you will.
Exactly. And then eventually you can get to such a point where you're so charming and somebody tries to charm you, you just charm shield, and it goes back on them.
Right, I see.
So you're now becoming more fey-like. You have the ability to turn tricksters into your own trickery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got a final ability, which is really nice, where they can basically beguile their enemies to such a degree that they believe they are in a different realm entirely. So they go. So you're looking at. You've got a Michael McIntyre book. You're looking at Michael McIntyre. I can see him. There he is. Mm-hmm. I am Michael.
That was a present, by the way. I didn't buy that.
Okay. It's fine. Hi, Michael. You now think that you are standing on top of a fey waterfall with rolling hills around you. Now, in real life, Michael is just standing in the pub, but in his mind, mm-hmm. unerringly, he is in that place.
You can do some Inception stuff with that.
You really can. You could also, if you imagine you're doing it in a place where there are...
Like a bank teller.
Yep, great. That's really useful.
Yeah.
Anywhere where there's large pitfalls. And then you just make all the terrain around them
seem level, so they just walk off a cliff.
Yes, exactly. And they can only see the terrain and yourself standing there. So you could say, "Come over here, because I'm charming," and then they just walk directly towards you and plummet.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the Archfey.
Super useful.
Really nice. Fiend. All of their spells are about fire control, because the Hellish Vibe.
Makes sense, yeah. Yep.
And kind of asserting your willpower over other creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they do, what their abilities that they give you is when you kill something, you can take a little bonus health each time you kill something.
Okay.
So you just continue to keep yourself healed up. That's all good.
Mm-hmm.
You can then go on to start adding a D10 to your rolls because, you know...
Super useful.
Because you're taking that fiendish thing of basically going, this is a contract, but it's leaning my way.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically making life lean your way.
Yeah.
You gain a resistance you can swap out through each rests. So you can say, today I don't fancy being hurt by fire as much.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, because I know I'm going to...
An ice cave.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll go for cold damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, in the way that the Archfey can send somebody into sort of a dream state world, you can literally just throw your enemies through a hellish landscape, burning them both physically and mentally. So you just do a butt ton of damage. That's the Fiend. Great old one. Now these are the Cthulian ones, right? So they deal a lot with madness. With
it's much more primal. It's a rawer form of power.
You get things like telepathy, and
that's useful.
Yeah, that's number one. So the ability to communicate sort of on the sly is a lot easier.
Is that like these are not the droids you're looking for type stuff?
Those are the kind of spells you can unlock. Definitely.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You can do things where you inflict madness upon people through their spell list.
Mm-hmm.
So you can read minds of others. People then can't read your mind, just in case they can. And then eventually you can enthrall somebody. So you bring somebody under your control. And you can do this forever.
Whoa.
It's only one person, but if it's a key person to a campaign... okay, I don't know why this has sprung to my mind, but imagine if you could enthrall Jafar.
Yeah.
From Aladdin.
And then you've just got the king.
Or the king. Anybody.
You could be the scheming vizier.
Exactly. And just that person will always want to do what you want to do. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Who's that guy carrying your bag? That's Steve. He angered me at a restway 4 years ago. And now he lives to shine my shoes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Done.
Is he always so still? Yeah, usually.
I tell him to
if he moves.
Movement irks
not
me.
Not committed. Yeah.
The Celestial. Now they become they're your healer warlock, right? They're mm-hmm. they're your buff to the other team. You can get a thing called Healing Light, which is so similar to the Paladin's Lay on Hands. We haven't done Paladins yet. That it's kind of, I'm not sure whether these two abilities could kind of be intercrossed. Basically, they get a pool of healing d6s that you can just heal on people as a bonus action. So that's great. You can then later on start adding your charisma bonus to anything where you do fire damage or fire damage or radiant damage.
Okay.
So you're just boosting your fire and radiant damage, so that makes sense. You know, burn away the unclean or mm-hmm. whatever, that kind of thing. You can start putting temporary hit points onto yourself and your allies, so you can just boost
make
everybody.
Make you tougher for a certain amount of time.
Exactly. And then it gets to such a point where you can just bring yourself back to life once between long rests in a supernova of radiant damage. Just down, oh, I feel a bit dead, up I pop.
Boom.
Exactly.
Does that hurt your companions?
I imagine so. If they're in that area, you've got to do those saves. Next up, we've got the Hexblade. Now, these are the ones where you've got that relationship with...
A weapon,
yeah, but also the... what's her name? The Raven Queen.
Mm-hmm.
So these are upfront fighter warlocks. You know how we're talking about how different those
ones.
So they can start, basically, as a bonus action, they start chucking hexes out on people. And you're targeting this person. You're saying specifically, this person I have hexed. And now when I attack them, I can do things. So one, you crit on a 19 or a 20. This is level one, by the way. This is the first time you do this. You crit on a level 19. On a roll of 19 or 20... anyone you can kill, you can take health for it, and
that's
then you
good.
Gain extra damage on the attacker.
That's really good.
Yep. And then anyone that you kill who has been hexed, this is as you get later on, they come back as a specter.
Like that.
Yep. Then you start getting the ability to make your hex targets miss you. And that's not like a, oh, you roll at disadvantage. You roll the D6. If it's a 5 or a 6, they miss you. So there's a third of a chance they don't hit you.
Bend the spell around you.
Which is nuts
really
anyway.
Useful.
And then, because you can only do a hex once between short rests, you can then start moving the hex once you've killed something onto each thing. So you basically continue.
Okay.
Almost finally, we have the Undying One. These ones are, I like the Undying One a lot. I know I said I like the Archfey, but this is also a fun one that I really enjoy. So you ultimately start turning yourself into an edgy undead person anyway. First of all, any undead that you come across, you have to make a save, otherwise they just think you're another undead and they're like, oh, that's just Jeremy, the undead guy.
Whoa.
Let's walk past him. So they have trouble attacking you. You can succeed, you only have to succeed on one death save before popping back up.
That's good.
But straight up again. You eventually get to a point where you don't require food, water, or air.
You're kind of like the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. And now here's the thing that relates us to the toes thing that I was talking about earlier.
Brilliant. Okay. Bring it home, Ed.
I know, bring it home. So, final ability, you start gaining health back as a bonus action each turn.
Right.
It literally says you can also reattach limbs and body parts.
Now.
Right.
Can you cut the arms off something else and stick them on you for a fight?
I don't see why not.
That's pretty
As long as you cut
cool.
off your own arm to do it.
No, I meant chop. What do you mean? You chop off one arm, stick it below, and another one grows back?
Oh, no. You're talking like you want forearms.
Yeah.
No, you can't do forearms.
Uh-oh.
I think you can do... this was the forearm of... Azoth the Destroyer, right? I've glued it onto my arm. That's how you go around. You just make trophies of the things that you've killed and by just gluing them back onto yourself.
What the fuck does that look like after a year or two?
Yeah, it's rough. It's that is one hell of a thing to bring up.
I want the mouth of him, one eye of this dude, and I'm going to be winking all the time.
Brilliant. I like that. So those are the patrons. Those are the subclasses and how they kind of work.
Imagine if your arms were too big and your body was too little.
But, you know, that's fun. You're also an undead dude, doesn't need to eat, doesn't need to breathe.
It's true.
Already you're pretty weird on that front.
Hmm.
Now let's talk about the pacts, the chain, the tome, and the blade. So the arguably the most weakest one, as it comes to sort of number crunching, is the Pact of the Chain.
Okay.
Now, I say arguably because it gives you a lot and a lot of non-combat based...
Useful stuff,
exactly. Now you basically do a spell called Find Familiar, but at the moment there's a limitation on those. With the Pact of the Chain, your Find Familiar becomes better, so the familiars that you can summon are that much better.
Mm-hmm.
One's an imp, a quasit, and a pseudo dragon, is it an imp? No, I said an imp. Like a fairy.
Okay.
Now,
what's a quasit?
Quasit is a little devil.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, I really like... a little demon, sorry.
Like the thing imp in Disenchanted. Is a little devil.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And they basically have a lot of things where they're close to you, they give you advantages on stuff, but also you can actually use them...
To spy. Slide them under doors and stuff.
Yeah, activate magical items.
Levers.
Levers, exactly. So, for instance, one build that I've seen that I think is quite nice is you give an imp an ever-smoking bottle, which kind of does what it says on the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to him, and you say, there you go, run off, and he can, as an action, basically pop open this bottle.
Right,
and then he's basically creating mobile cover for you.
That's so cool.
Which is really fun. So, not specific sort of damage outputs, but definitely a lot of fun role-playing abilities. Pack to the Tome. That's the whole, you've got another spell book, which basically gives you loads more spells than you had before, and it kind of helps deal with the Warlock's limited spell casting abilities.
Yeah.
And then Pact of the Blade is there for those ones where you want to get up in people's grill, because you start to be able to, one, you can become proficient in any weapon, so you can still be sort of a, you know, like a slight character, and then run around with a battle axe and be smashing out D12 damage left, right, and centre. Really useful. Now, all of those three, Pact of the Chain, Pact of the Tome, Pact of the Blade, they all get buffs on their invocate to do with the invocations that you can take.
Okay.
So they kind of buff from that front. Like I said, there's a lot to Warlocks.
Yeah.
You're looking a bit confused.
No, I'm following
still
it.
With
just,
me.
Just about.
Wicked. All right. So, Warlock...
It's just so many combinations is the thing.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the best thing to explore. I really like that thing about them, that they do have...
It's like a whole other race, almost.
Yeah, in stuck itself, in itself.
Sort of. Because as well as all this, you have all the stuff from your actual race.
Yep.
Like, a Dragonborn Warlock would be...
Yeah,
absolute trip, for example.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
Imagine an Eladrin... an Eladrin who's taken the Pact of the Archfey. Mm-hmm. So they're already teleporting around anyway because of their abilities.
Yeah.
They've got Archfey, so they're now teleporting around being super scary and kind of really emphasising those.
You basically become a malevolent spirit yourself then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think they're as a class, they're there for those who really kind of want to go a little bit edgy on their spellcasting. Just a bit weird. They're the guy at the back who's constantly twitching. Nobody knows why, but they say some fun things sometimes.
One spell that skins people.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably Cloud of Daggers, which would probably do
that. No, he just...
Oh, just whips it off.
Tears you out.
Like a dressing gown.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that. All right, so let's go into what's that spell. Or this time...
Interesting Invocations!
Okay, welcome to Interesting Invocations. Now, I'm going to go for the ones that basically link in with what we've talked about. Some of these just give you spells that you can use. And they kind of basically offset the fact that your spell slots are very short.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go with the interesting things. Number one.
Go.
Gaze of Two Minds.
The Gaze of Two Minds. Does that mean you can... That's got to be something along the lines of what we were talking about, like telepathy. The Gaze of Two Minds. Maybe you can communicate with other people. You can see through other people's eyes. You can read their thoughts, and you can send thoughts to them.
Close. Yeah, pretty much. You covered it, Sam. So, Gaze of Two Minds means that you can basically... You touch a willing humanoid and perceive through its senses until the end of your next turn.
What use is that if you can touch them? You can just look around the corner yourself.
But you can do it to friends. So you could do it... Or you could do it to, like, let's say, a barman in a pub.
Oh, you don't have to hold on to him while
No. So you do it once. So you've got to touch him to start it. And then as long as the creature is on the same plane of existence, you can use your action to maintain that connection and extend the duration. So you can look through somebody's eyes for quite a long time.
So if we go back to the bank teller, you could shake his hand and then he goes, you go and read a paper in the corner and he goes to the vault and you see him type the combination in or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, got that door open.
Yes,
that's
definitely.
Okay, yeah, I take that back, actually. That's pretty useful.
Alright, that's good. Let's go with Voice of the Chain Master. Now, this links in specifically with the Pact of the Chain.
Is it some kind of you enthrall something to do your bidding? You bind them with a chain? Or the chain, you like an extension of that?
No. Because when you're the Pact of the Chain, you're already doing that, remember? You're already creating a familiar who runs around. What it does
that mean your familiar can control someone? Like your familiar's familiar? Oh, God. Familiar. When does it end?
This is my ladybug.
That imp's got a smaller imp, which is holding a smaller imp.
Like Russian dolls.
Russian imps.
Russian imps. No, so basically you can perceive through your familiar senses, but you can also speak in your own voice, which is quite nice. So
oh, my God.
Yeah.
So some rabbit hops through someone's fence. It's like a Patronus. Goes,
hey, man.
Yeah. Sup?
Let's go with Gift of the Ever-Living One.
That's got to be some sort of spell you can cast on your friends so they get your Magnificent One death save, pop back up power, something like that.
Not bad, no.
Half a point?
Not even half a point.
Oh, okay.
This is a really nice one that links in with the old ones. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So whenever you regain hit points whilst your familiar is within 100 feet of you, treat the dice rolled as maximum hit point values. So when you're regaining hit points, if your familiar is nearby, you get loads of stuff.
Okay.
Let's move away from the Pact of the Chain, and we're going to go with Eldritch Smite.
Can I have a clue?
Yes.
Okay.
It's to do with the Pact of the Blade.
Maybe it's like a super lethal blow. Something like that. Like you get to roll another D6 or something on top of your combat dice already.
Very good, Sam.
Yeah.
That is pretty much bang on.
Get in.
We're just going to upgrade that.
Oh, my
as well.
2 for 3. That's not
yeah,
bad.
Something like that. and you get an extra D8 force damage to the target.
I should get so 2 points for that.
No, that's not how points work. Let's go and find a Pact of the Tome.
Okay.
Yep, we'll go with this one. Book of Ancient Secrets.
Hmm. And this is Pact of the Tome.
Yes.
Is it a magic multiplier spell? Like, you've read a book that's... It's the ancientest of the ancient, and it just gives you an overall boost in how much your damage your magic can do, or how the duration, something like that. Does it? It's like a spell to make your magic better.
Not a spell to make your magic better. Right, basically,
a book.
Yes, your book can now store more than the spells that it started with. So
that's
you're giving
point.
Yourself extra... I mean, no, come on.
Half a point.
Let's not bend the rules here.
I'm doing so well.
You are doing well. Yeah, like I said, guys, there are literally 30 or so of these invocations.
Like a whole other spell book within a spell
within
book.
The book. So those are the things that really make everything...
Give us one more.
One more? You want one more?
Yeah, that's
okay,
a tiebreaker. Double
Let's
or nothing.
Go.
Come on.
Okay, here we go. Gift of the Depths.
I think this is a misnomer. Gift of the Depths. It can't mean depth of knowledge. It must mean that you can breathe underwater or something.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes!
So you can breathe underwater and you gain a swimming speed equal to your walking speed.
That was double enough. That means I get the full 6 points. Get in.
I'm not sure if I agreed to that.
That was recorded. That's down.
I'm not sure if I... All right, Sam. Let's take a dive into your character box.
Okay. I'm getting a taste for a creature. I'm just going to say it how I see it, and then you tell me what this would fall into.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
I really, really like the guy that can steal things from other people. But this, you know, you can attach an arm or something,
right.
You can attach a leg.
Yep.
But this person's got so good, they can open someone's head, pick out parts of their brain, and attach it to their brain. So they become this sort of super genius type figure who is trying to cheat his way to goddom to get himself out of whatever demony pact he's made.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not bad. I can see that. So you're going, the old one is your patron, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking old, ancient, undead creature. Not old one, sorry. Undying, so old, undead.
Yeah, yeah, like
undead
a lich
creature.
Type thing.
Yeah, so... I like that because it's almost like when you take the bits of brain or whatever and put it into your own,
mm-hmm.
you're gaining knowledge that way,
yeah.
and that unlocks as your other
yeah.
invocations as you're going through. Yeah, I really like that as well. I'd probably go maybe Pact of the Tome.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
You're all about the knowledge.
Super learned. Yeah, super
yeah,
learned.
Really. All right, nice. I like that a lot. That
Boom.
Works really nicely. Okay, let's bring the show to a close.
You can find us on Instagram, search Start Set Podcast. We're on iTunes and Spotify now, just search Start Set. And if you're going to listen to us through iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it out. And leave us some questions as well, because we always like to interact with people.
Lovely. We've been Start Set, you've been our listeners. Keep rolling, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye! Oh, no, that was horrible.
Bye!
Bye!
What is going on?
I've never said that word less like a human. Bye. How? Well, I think I should do it with an upward inflection. Bye.